It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and it is March Madness time. This weekend, we'll find out who is being chosen to take part in what's called the Big Dance, the NCAA tournament. It's all part of a plethora of tournaments in March, particularly for high school and college kids. How much does this cut into their studying time, and is it really all worth it? Joining us now to talk about that is our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus, Bob Dvorak. Check out his video blog, Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
I'm well, thank you. Let's talk about March Madness. We are already into tournaments. There was a 7-overtime high school championship hockey game in Ohio yesterday that ended in a tie, which I'll ask you about. But with all these games being played, the travel involved, how does it impact students, and is it, in spite of all the excitement, ultimately the right thing and a positive thing for the student-athlete?
Yeah, we've gone from March Madness to April Fools, haven't we? The determination has to be made, I think, by people above my pay grade, the school administrators, school directors. It's always been a delicate balance between extracurricular activities and the benefits of those weighed against the lost time in the classroom. The simple answer is that they've already determined that they're going to play these things. There's a proliferation of tournaments that doesn't seem to end, and that classroom time doesn't seem to have the priority that it used to.
Yeah, right. This week there's a conference tournament, and the Pitt will be playing in the ACC tournament for the first time. Then next week, presumably, they'll be in the NCAA tournament. So a lot of time spent, and it's being done because there's a buck in it, right?
Well, of course. And, there was always the argument about college football and the playoff, that the playoff would take these kids out of school. Well, they play to the week after New Year's Day now anyway. So, I think that's just sort of like an empty argument. But it is the buck. I mean, this stuff is all driven by TV, media, sponsors, and return to schools on the money-wise.
Now, that 7-overtime high school hockey game in Ohio is for the state high school hockey championship. It was tied after 7 overtimes, and the officials then determined that let's just call them co-champions. What are your thoughts about that? Should they have gone on at by this point in an athlete's young life? Are they ready to keep going until somebody wins and somebody loses, or is this the best way to do it?
Well, I mean, you play the game to have an outcome, to have a championship, and purpose of overtime is to determine that. All the sports have gone. Other sports have gone to shootouts. The NHL, the Olympics would have had a shootout. Soccer has shootouts. So 7 overtimes. Boy, that's the equivalent of 3 extra games. That's a lot to put on a youngster. But remember when the All-Star game ended in a tie, and we ended up determining home field advantage in the World Series by the All-Star game because of that.
On to one last subject before we wrap up, and that is a poll or a study that was done by Emory University based on Twitter comments. Which city in the NFL would be most receptive to having a gay player, an openly gay player? And, of course, this is on the heels of Missouri lineman Michael Sam, who is declaring for the draft, who will be possibly drafted and chosen by an NFL team. The study showed that the most receptive market to an openly gay player would be New York. The least receptive would be Nashville, and that Pittsburgh was the 4th least receptive market to an openly gay player. What are your thoughts about that? Is that really an accurate characterization of Pittsburgh, that we would be less tolerant of a gay football player, say, on the Steelers?
Well, I think anything involving Twitter I take with a grain of salt because it's not a scientific survey. Two, I'm not surprised. I mean, Pittsburgh is not the city you equate with being receptive to change and new ideas very often, even though I hate to make any generalizations because there are pockets of Pittsburgh that do accept things and other pockets that resist change no matter what it is. I mean, Jefferson Street Joe Gillum is a black quarterback in the 70s. People just didn't embrace him with open arms. Cordell Stewart because he lost, was subject to all kinds of rumor and innuendo. The question, I think, has a little I have a little problem with, and the people at Emory are the good folks who also said that we don't take losing very well. Duh. Hello. If Michael Sam is drafted by the Steelers and wins the Defensive Player of the Year award, I think people would be very receptive to having an openly gay player.
So it's about results.
Yes.
Bob Dvorak, always bringing us the positive results. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. Check out his video blog, Sportsnet. Thank you, Bob. Good to see you.
Same here, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of the program or want to revisit segments from past shows, go to our website at wesa.fm. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.